Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It is a less than stellar day in the neighborhood outside, but hopefully you're having a great day inside or wherever you may be driving around. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We are hopefully going to entertain you for the next 3 hours, taking you up till 4 o'clock. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's going on?
All good in the neighborhood. Just checking in, seeing what's going on. Anything eventful happen overnight?
I picked up my new glasses, and it's really just the same frames. I just got new lenses because I went a week ago, I think, to the eye doctor because the old eyeballs are getting worse. I feel like I'm drunk right now.
So like you're still adjusting to the glasses?
Yeah, this isn't going to work. Like I have progressive lenses. I had them for over a year now. And this new prescription, I don't know what they did different on these lenses, but everything's like real wavy and swimmy and my eyes hurt and I can't see. So it's awful. So I didn't even wear them today, which is bad if I'm on the road driving without them because I can't see. But life could be worse, right? At least we live in a world where they make glasses so we can see. I always thought about that. Think about, before, was it Benjamin Franklin that invented specs?
The bifocals, right? Or something like that.
Oh, did he? I thought he invented glasses. Was it bifocals?
I think so. I could be wrong, too.
But just think, there was a time in our life, or in humans' life, when glasses weren't invented. So if you were, couldn't see, you just couldn't see. Yeah. You had no idea. You just thought, man, life really sucks. It's always fuzzy.
Yeah.
Like, I wish it was clear.
They knew how your cat feels and how my dog will probably feel because my breed tends to go blind as well.
My cat's not blind. He's deaf.
Oh, same thing.
Well, or how you feel the night after a bender.
Not at all the same thing. One has to do with one sense and the other has to do with a completely different sense.
So you never owned a blind cat?
No.
Oh, okay. Was that you, Joel?
No.
Okay.
You fuzzy like when you come up the next day after a bender.
Yeah, that's every day.
Well, there you go.
I have a deaf cat. That's it.
Okay.
So, don't...
Watch him go. Same difference.
That's what he did.
I already said the same difference.
So this kind of sucks, but whatever. It could be worse. That was my eventful morning, was picking these up and then getting them and going, nope, this sucks. Going to have to get rid of these. They gave me the old lenses, though, so I'll probably swap them out. Plus, do these look like they have like a little... shade to them?
No.
They put don't? They, I feel like they don't look like transition lenses, but I feel like they have a slight tint to them.
No.
I can't tell.
I'm not going to be up here looking like Ronnie Millsap, looking all stupid with these tinted glasses on. Those transition
Rocky
lenses?
Mountain rain.
Those transition lenses are the dumbest things I've ever seen. If you have transition lenses,
they do
punch
not
yourself.
Work.
No. Yeah. But they're not good. And so half the time you come inside and they're still on and they didn't transition all the way.
You gotta look right at the sun for them. Then they eventually wear out. Like you can't. They don't last.
Look at the sun.
They don't.
Does
last.
That go away?
I feel like it
runs out.
It diminishes over time. I feel like.
Does it? Are you I just like guessing that?
No, I used to have transition lenses.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Multiple times. Maybe
what
two or three
dork.
Times. Yeah.
Mark Berman still has them.
Did you do that as a kid or what?
Yeah.
Boy, I bet you were a nerd.
I mean,
that's nice. You
had transition lenses as a kid?
It was like an upsell to the family, and I didn't care. I didn't mind them.
How old were you?
Probably from the age of 10 to the age of like 15, I had those
transition. You had transition lenses at 15? Did you still carry a lunchbox?
I never carried a lunchbox.
No, a cane.
At 15, yeah. What? Those were so, like, I would never, ever.
For a while, they were a thing, yeah.
So were Hypercolor shirts. So were a lot of things. Garbage Pail Kids. Like, no one's.
I mean, no one really noticed them. They eventually went away. Like, they would go in. Like, when you walk in the building, yeah, you're right. They would stay.
You'd be the only a-hole in there with sunglasses on for about 10 minutes.
Well, then what makes that? What, like, so those people that actually intentionally wear sunglasses indoors, they're
those are complete douchebags. Complete douchebags.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1,000%.
It would take like 5 minutes sometimes. For it to eventually go away.
Wasn't there
so you would be a D-bag for about 5.5 minutes. But it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Isn't there certain times and certain lights, even indoors, that they'll start to go dim?
For me, it didn't, no.
Really?
It had to be sunlight.
But here's the thing, though. Like, sunglasses have a certain look to them. There's different.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you go outside in, like, my glasses, and then they tint, everyone's like, those aren't sunglasses. Those are.
With yours, if they're, like, dark enough. It would look like sunglasses because you got black rims.
I don't think so.
I think they would.
I think it would just look like I had transition lenses on black rim glasses.
Yeah.
What kind of glasses did you have? I would love to see you in glasses. Do you have a picture
that
of you?
That would be
in
interesting. It really would.
I do.
You do?
I do have, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're not offering that up,
though,
are you?
You're going to tweet it for me?
Probably not. I don't have it with me anyway.
Really? All the pictures that I've tweeted of me is my stupid ass looking self. In high school, and you won't do that.
Dude, I remember I was so excited for my first pair of contacts because I hated glasses so much.
How long have you worn glasses?
Oh, since a kid. Probably
10?
10, yeah.
God, I started wearing them, I think, when I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I needed glasses pretty early on.
Joel, you don't have to except for readers, huh?
Just for readers.
Yeah. You have perfect eyesight otherwise.
Yeah. Distance eyesight is really, really good. It's crazy.
Whole fam like that?
No.
Everybody needed glasses?
Yeah, my whole family, pretty much aside from me, needed glasses from an early age.
Oh, wow. Look, got lucky. And by the way, if I turn to you like this, it's not because I'm trying to be weird. It's because there's like a very narrow field of vision.
How long does this last? Because your drive home could be really interesting tonight.
It was interesting coming in. But I'm like trying to figure out these things. I'm probably going to return these. They pretty much suck. I should have just. Like, NASCAR Johnny's wife is the one that gave me these glasses. Like, I went to her. She used to, when they lived here, she was in the Woodlands Eye Place or whatever. And that's where I went and got these glasses and the original transition lenses, and they were awesome. These, not so much. This was TSL. Don't like what they did.
Yeah, it's,
not a fan of
I'm
how
just
these
worried about out. The traffic around you on the way home.
Because I'm having to, like.
Because if you got, like, tunnel vision, you're going to have to do that, and you're going 90 and diagonally splitting traffic, it could be a hazard and a risk for a lot of people.
I definitely drove a little slower on the way in. I'll be honest with you. I was more cautious.
Okay.
Did you have a good night? Did you do anything fun besides watch the Rockets?
I didn't. I mean, I watched the Rockets and fell asleep, woke up, fell asleep, woke up, and.
You didn't miss much. It was an ugly,
I caught
sloppy
up on
game.
It, but I was like, you know. It's just, again, we always say typical Houston or typical Rockets or typical whatever team. Typical Rockets that when they have a closeout game, they don't close them out.
Well, yeah, they'll close them out at home. I fully believe that. Is it weird that a game like that makes me angry?
No, it should.
Like, I get angry. I like not necessarily because they play bad, because I think that's going to happen. But it's just one of those things where I just want them, I expect, it's like the Astros. If they don't win, I kind of get mad. I'm just like, good. You're supposed to win every game. I feel like that. Like, you should go 82-0. Even though I know that's not going to happen, I know sweeps in the playoffs are hard, especially a 4-5 matchup with the Jazz, who everyone feared, including, you know, the Rockets on up and down. Like, no one wanted to play the Jazz. So I realize that it's been pretty lucky and that they're lucky to be up 3-1. They split on the road. Still got mad. Still like, damn it. You know, why are they winning this game? It made me angry. I probably shouldn't have been angry.
I think frustration probably should be better than anger.
Probably
at this
a better
point.
Word.
Yeah.
Probably a better word. You got me on that.
But no, but I totally understand it because it was frustrating enough to see them struggle the way they did in game three, but yet they pulled it out.
That's the thing. Yeah, you're like, okay, that's cool.
So you write that off as, hey, it's just one of those deals that's going to happen every now and then. They were off, but it's not going to happen twice.
Yeah.
And then it happened again. So that's.
But at least James didn't happen. Again.
No. But of course, the first guy that they're going to take jabs at nationally is James this morning, which I don't agree with.
Who was taking jabs at him?
Oh, on First Take, they were both. Max Kellerman went to the comparing James Harden to Peyton Manning for biggest playoff chokers in sports history. I was like, come on, dude. He still had 30 on less than 20 shots. Get off his ass.
I mean, we're going to talk about playoff chokers, and is he going to mention Westbrook putting up 1 point in the second half?
Kyle Lowry, again.
Yeah.
I bring him to the forefront.
I think you're being a little hard on James. In fact, remember when I looked back at the numbers and gave them to you guys in the playoffs, he's not that bad. Like, his number, we argued about, was that garbage time or not, and on the road versus home, but his numbers, I think he gets a worse rap than he does. He'll have some spectacularly bad games.
Mm-hmm. And really not this year.
But who carried them in games 1 and 2 at home against the Jazz?
Yeah, I was going to say, in the past he's had some, but not him this year. And as we went back and looked at it when this came up before.
Spectacularly bad.
Well, but he still had 20-some points.
Yeah.
Got to the free throw line. That's resourceful. I mean, when you're...
Resourceful, but 0 for 15 is pretty bad.
It is, but again, resourceful in Kyle Lowry is a goose egg. Resourceful in James Harden is 20-plus with some other stat fillers in the box score.
Fair enough.
So I don't think it's fair to take shots at Harden. I think, realistically, it's just... You can't take your foot off the gas pedal. You've got to keep doing what you did to get in the position that you're in. Otherwise, you run the risk of letting a team back in a series that you have no interest, nor should you have any business being in a long series with.
I feel like the problem last night was, there was obviously 12 points in the fourth quarter is going to kill you. They went cold at the absolute wrong time of the game. With 8 minutes left, I don't know what the shot chart looks like after 8 minutes till the game ended, but it can't be good. I don't feel like they made many, if any, shots from behind the 3-point line.
They didn't.
It was bad. The cold spell.
It's the unlucky number 13. I think Mitchell had the first 13 points of the fourth quarter for them, and I think they missed their first 13 3-pointers in the fourth quarter. That's going to be a very disastrous recipe.
Yeah. 12 points in a quarter.
Yep.
Not good.
That ain't going to get it done in a playoff game or basically almost any time, especially with the amount of threes that you shoot.
And I get it that the Jazz are good. Like, I get that that they play good defense. But that was also some bad shooting. Just poor shooting. Like, they had open looks at the basket. They just weren't knocking them down. And you know what? Listen, sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes you're on a team that relies on three-point shooting. It's going to go cold on you. Mm-hmm. And it just is going to happen. And you deal with it. It's just unfortunate. You can fade it if it happens in the second quarter. If the last 8 minutes of the first half you go cold, you can still maybe
make it up.
But the last 8 minutes of the game when it was close, that's the worst time for that to happen, obviously.
And the bigger thing, too, from that perspective is be resourceful enough to figure it out when it's not falling. You go back to last year in game 7 against the Warriors, too. If it's not falling, don't keep forcing them. Stop the bleeding. Get a bucket here or there. A lot of times a bucket, and people talk about it all the time, a made bucket and seeing the ball go through the rim can change a guy who's not shooting it very well at the time. But be resourceful enough and aware of the fact that if it's not going in, get another bucket another way, and then you can always go back to it.
I'm looking at the shot chart. Mm-hmm. 0 for 12 from behind the three-point line in the fourth quarter. All of their shots were basically Chris Paul in the key. Like Chris Paul... Again, I mean, Harden had one. He had, a bucket at the rim. But everything from outside was a miss. And, it's going to happen. I mean, he had House putting the boy. He shot some bricks last night.
Yeah, we got plenty we can get into because there is a ton to talk about in the fact that this one just got away and it looked like they were very disinterested in the process. But Utah save face. They didn't get swept out of the playoffs. There's not as much egg on their face or embarrassment when they do get eliminated. But, I don't think there's any panic. It's just be concerned enough to take care of your business tomorrow night. That's going to be the most important thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we're just getting started here on the show. So we always open up the invitation if you guys want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and of course at the producer Nick. We're going to just get going on this. So,
Hey, real quick, I want to tell the people about besthotelrates.com. If you travel If you're like me, I like to get out and travel, and everybody does. Let's face it. We're all going to take some sort of vacation at some point somewhere. And even if you only do it once or twice a year, how much money are you wasting if you're not booking through besthotelrates.com? I think you should check it out. What they've done is they've gone out and negotiated with like 600,000 hotels worldwide. And then they get these good rates. And then they extend those discounts and those rates to you. All you got to do to get it, go to besthotelrates.com. You put in your destination, when you want to travel. It's that simple. Then you get that discounted rate back. And it's probably places you're staying anyway. So why pay the extra money? Besthotelrates.com. They're going to get you that extra savings. You save money. You book through them. The customer service is outstanding. You make your reservations, and then you don't have to worry about it. It's safe. It's secure. They're going to take care of everything for you and make sure that your customer service level is everything that you expect. Besthotelrates.com. If you start planning your trip now, you can get even better rates. Check them out online. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for a ride on a overcast, to say the least, day in the big city, as we were a little gloomy talking about the Rockets last night as they allowed Utah to get a game in this series. The next one will be tomorrow night. Early start time for you, Nicholas, so you don't have to...
Happy about that.
Yes, the 7 o'clock start time, the early game of the two. Coincidentally, the late game, Clippers-Warriors. So now instead of catching a couple of extra days to prepare and rest... Looks like Rockets and Warriors will be on the identical schedules. Both close out their series tomorrow night, assuming it all goes well, and then they'll probably tip it off on Sunday.
You're going?
I am definitely going. Are you?
I'm
going
to go, too.
Oh, God. It's going to be a disaster.
Look, what the hell is that supposed to
look,
mean?
I'm going to give you my seat.
I thought...
Give me 50 feet, homie. Just saying.
What?
Because you killed me the last time I went.
I killed you?
I was the butt of the joke.
Oh, I don't feel like that was all.
That was your doing.
I don't feel like that happened the whole time. Maybe, like.
A good portion of the time.
Half. Okay. Yeah, well, I'll go. I'll sit in the overflow section.
I will say Clint Capela is probably the one Rocket that needs the most rest. And that's why I think them not getting this sweep hurts him the most. Because he clearly was gassed. You could see it in his body language on the court. And I don't know, even if they do get a win on Wednesday, tomorrow, that going into the next series, that will be enough rest for a guy like Clint Capela.
Yeah, he had a rough night, no doubt. I think it showed on the boards, but they got killed in rebounding. I mean, they got absolutely destroyed.
By like 20, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even close. It's 52 to 35. And that's a bad recipe if you're missing shots and you're not getting rebounds. But you're right. There's something definitely wrong with Capela. He didn't look himself. And I know he's suffering from a couple of different issues.
They said two different illnesses.
Wow. I guess the question then becomes, if that's the case, why not play Nene?
Yeah. I mean, that's what you saved him all year for, right? And you're getting hammered on the boards. And Nick, you mentioned Fareed. There's still a lingering issue there as well.
Yeah, he has a lingering issue. Clint Capela had a upper respiratory infection. And then yesterday, Coach D'Antoni says he's battling a virus. So you see on Twitter, well, why is Kenneth Fareed not getting minutes? Well, he's clearly not healthy. You can probably make the same argument for Nene. If you're wondering why Nene is not playing, there might be some health issue that they're not revealing. Because not a situation where D'Antoni doesn't trust him when he does put him in, is it?
The minutes look a little suspect.
Yeah.
I mean, when you know that Capela has issues, and we're not 100% sure if Fareed and Nene does, but you look and you see Capela had 28 minutes, all other starters at least 35. Tucker, Harden, and Gordon played 38. Paul had 35. But then you look on the bench, and guys that would normally fill in for Capela and to make up that extra 10 or so minutes, or 20 minutes, I should say. Fareed had 5. Hartenstein had a minute. I mean, like, there's House and Rivers are the guys that got the bulk of the playing time on the bench.
And House has gotten progressively worse in this series.
Yeah.
He has every game he's scored less points. And for a team that kind of got criticism for not giving him that deal, this is the time for House to prove himself. I mean, 11 points in game one. I think it was like 8 or 9 in game two.
Oh,
5 in game three. 0. I mean, he just doesn't. He's gotten progressively worse against the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And they really need him. I hate to say it. I kind of expect it out of Rivers. But House, he needs to hit shots. He needs to make shots.
Well, if you're going to be on the floor, right, there's two things we know. You're expected to take them and eventually make them from three. And we talked about how House can be sometimes apprehensive. And I've mentioned in the past that part of the benefit of being a shooter is, and one of the things you're required to do is, you can't have any negativity in your head and worry and be apprehensive, because confidence is a big thing when you're shooting the basketball, especially from three. And that was, you know, you look at it, and the bench was awful last night. They just got no contributions. Wherever they tried to, he tried to put someone else in that rotation. And, of course, when he's gone to the shorter rotation for the playoffs, a lot of guys aren't as ready as they would be, knowing that they were going to guarantee themselves some minutes in the game. And, you know, this is like, to me, this whole thing, and we could sit there and I'm sure we all got a list of things that we noticed that were wrong. But the biggest thing is they need to treat this as a wake-up call and learn some things from it, because against Golden State, it's going to be a much different scenario, and it's going to be out of hand a lot quicker if you make these same mistakes.
Right. And it's not like a panic mode situation. I just think Crowder had an amazing first, and Mitchell had an amazing fourth. And then the Rockets disappeared in the fourth. And so that killed him. That just absolutely killed him. You know, Mitchell didn't have but 10, 11 points going into the fourth quarter. Yeah. 19 of his 31 points came in the fourth quarter.
I feel like the Rockets came out really flat. Like you said, they got probably a little complacent. I mean, like you said, Crowder was all over the place. And it's just the whole team seemed a bit lackadaisical. I don't know if disinterested is the right word, but it certainly fits for this. I mean, across the board, James, it was a tough 30. Mm-hmm. Again, a really tough 30 that he put up. Chris Paul, number of mistakes. It was just a bad, ugly game offensively, defensively, from an effort perspective, just all the way shooting, everything that from every facet of the game, they were bad last night. And that said, they were still in it. Like I wanted to see the shot chart, but they were still, not the shot chart, but the, you know, they give you the game cast, like percentages of winning. They were still in it in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
They collapsed. It was 81-79. Yeah, it was 83-80, actually, with 10 minutes left in the fourth. You're still in that, but boy, it got away from them in a hurry. And like I said, about the eight-minute mark, it was 93-82. Never looked back after that.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right. I think that they were complacent and disinterested in the fact that they figured the series was already over. I think they kind of expected that they took their best shot from Utah in game three, and that at a certain point the Jazz were just going to fold up their tents and go home. Mm-hmm. And they had more pride than that.
Did you hear Barkley saying that about did you watch the—
I did not.
Okay, so did you happen to catch it?
A little bit. What reference
halftime,
are you talking about?
Barkley was talking about the fact that the Jazz have quit. They don't want to play no more. He's like, I've been on teams. I can tell you right now, all those dudes are ready for the— they know that it's over with at 3-0. They're not looking to try. And I was like, I mean, they get paid a lot of money, and I feel like those guys have a pride in themselves to not get swept. Barkley was like, nah, that's— nobody on that team wants to play. I was like,
I can see Barkley saying
that. Thanks a lot,
that.
Jinxing ass Barkley, because everybody came out in that second half ready to play. Dudes were pounding the floor like Duke players playing. You know how when Duke gets on a good run, they get into that low squat and pound the floor to play defense.
KJ accused me of jinxing him, because I tweeted out this stat with three players shooting over 60% through the first three quarters. You're shooting over 60%. Like, Tucker and I believe Gordon were shooting over 70%.
It's crazy.
Through the first three quarters, and you choke.
Well, they didn't do that in the last 8 minutes.
Nope.
So.
No.
If you don't want to choke when it comes to your everyday life, download GetUpside. That's going to get you cash back on stuff you're already paying for. Listen, guys, listen to me. Seriously. You hear me talking about this, and a lot of you have already jumped on GetUpside. And I'm happy for you, because that means you're already getting money back in your pocket. If you have not downloaded GetUpside yet, what are you waiting for? You're leaving money at the pump. You're leaving money at the table. I keep telling you about this. And some of you are like, well, I don't know. Does it work? Yes, it works. Listeners have sent me screenshots of $200 in their account. My brother-in-law, Alex, was telling me he's got like 70 bucks in his account or something. Like, it's crazy. It works. It's completely free to download. And when you download it from your app store, put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill-up. Because let me explain what GetUpside does. It's very simple. You fill up your car using GetUpside. You get cash back at the pump when you fill up. Up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back at over 500 gas stations. So if you're not using GetUpside, you're not getting cash back. You're basically, if somebody walked up to you and was like, here's $5, you're like, no, I'm good. I don't want that money at the pump. Don't leave that money at the pump. And it also is for food. You eat out, you eat lunch, you go somewhere for lunch, you bring home dinner for the fam. Wendy's, Popeye's, Cyclone Anaya's, Burger King, up to 35% cash back from all these places where you eat around town. You're already eating there. You might as well get that cash back. If you were eating and your meal was 10 bucks and somebody came up and was like, hey, here's 350 back, you're going to be like, no, I'm good. No, absolutely you're going to take it. That's why you need to download GetUpside and put in my promo code Barry. My wife used my promo code. First time she filled up, 30 cents a gallon. Y'all, it works. It's legit. It's completely free. It doesn't cost you anything. No reason not to use it. It's called GetUpside. It is completely free. Put in that promo code Barry. Get that cash back and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be in the big city. Looks like the weather's going to be this kind of way for the next couple days. So duck the drops if you're out and about.
Yeah. You know, I made the cardinal sin of arguing with a know-it-all on Twitter just now.
With a what? Know-it-all? A
know-it-all. Yeah, that's the problem with doing what we do. Is we give an opinion, and then someone else has an opinion, and then if you disagree with that opinion, they're immediately like, I know everything, and you don't know anything. It's like, okay, then you have an opinion, and I think it's wrong. I have an opinion, and you think it's wrong. It's just, it's so tedious sometimes to be on Twitter. It really is.
Yeah, we'll get to it at some point, but I stumbled across something last night in which, as bad as we get it from know-it-alls,
uh-huh.
There are also people out there that, for some reason, feel like they are built of Teflon and they can just cross any line and say whatever they feel to anybody because of a subject they're passionate about. And something's got to stop because there's some people out there.
They got you?
Not me, personally, but someone that I think people will recognize possibly the name, and they're a national person, but they took a personal...
Let's just do it.
All right, we can get into it.
Because I was catching a little heat last night tweeting during the game. I was making fun of Jazz fans, and a few of them would respond. One guy responded because I said, because last night it was whiteout at the Jazz game, which is ironic. It's in Utah. It's all white people. It's whiteout. And I made the joke. I was like, why did they give out white T-shirts for whiteout night with the Jazz? Everyone could have just wore their hoods.
Oh, God.
And a couple of Jazz people or a couple of people that live in Utah got pretty upset and tweeted at me. And one guy was like, oh, you're not funny. And I was like, oh, hi, guy from Utah. Sorry this upset you.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then he said something else. And I was like, hey, dude, if the hood fits. And then he deleted his tweets. And then so I saw that he deleted the tweets. So I screenshotted it and then tagged him. I was like, where'd you go, bro? What happened? He's like, I just decided I didn't want to argue. I was like, oh, sad face. I just kind of wanted to have fun with you. And me and you could go back and forth. Like, I was into that. And he didn't. So I was like, you know what? I respect your maturity. I really do.
Well, he tweeted at you and he didn't see your profile. He's like, oh, crap. Stand-up comic.
No, I think it was just,
about to get roasted.
And then some guy named, I don't know, Steven is amazing or something like that. I was like, you know, it was pretty cocky of me to say Barry is funny on Twitter, but your Steven is amazing?
Yeah, there's some people's
boy,
name.
That's a whole level of cockiness that I couldn't even fathom. And I almost said something. I was like, no, because I hate when people are like, Barry is not funny. Oh, so original. No one's used that in 10 years. So I was like, I'm not going to make fun of his name. He said something about it. He called me like an awful human being or something. I was like, bro, I mean, you're from Utah. Of course this upsets you. Utah, their idea, like, and I tweeted this too, but it's true. I feel like Utah thinks that, well, we're not racist. We like redheaded people. Like, that's not even close. That's not the same thing at all. It's not.
No. And so we say all the time when we get incidents like you're talking about, and Nick, you may know more than most, Royce Young.
Yeah, I remember him for sure.
So Royce Young is an ESPN NBA analyst and reporter.
I immediately thought of Royce White and then realized that's not who you're talking about.
No, but that's a story all in itself. But Royce Young was basically making comments, breaking down the Blazers-Thunder series, and wasn't very complimentary of the Thunder, nor should he be, based on what we've seen happen progress so far in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that was a Thunder fan, who has, of course, shockingly since deleted his account.
Oh, well, that never happens.
Saw what Royce was tweeting about the series and replied, "Don't be mad because Russ's daughters are alive, unlike yours."
Oh, my God.
People don't realize Royce and his wife, Carrie, lost their daughter Eva back in 2017 when she was stillborn as a result of a deadly and rare medical condition. You talk about crossing a line. I actually was trying to get on this guy's account to just unload on what a poor excuse for a human being
he
must be.
Piece of crap.
Yeah. So they essentially, somebody got to it. He deleted his account. Someone came in and like blocked him from getting the account name ever again and said, look, before anybody unloads on me, I just came in here to try and prevent this from happening again and make everybody realize I'm not that guy, but this was despicable.
I wonder if he did that.
And
he probably deleted his account, then recreated, was like, I'm not that guy.
That's the equivalent of that one douchebag that was a taxi cab driver in the 409.
Yep.
Talking about Mikhail's daughter. But people, they get so heated that, I mean, I'm not trying to make an excuse for them. They get so heated that they think they can say anything on Twitter. So I don't know if that came out of anger.
I'm going to say this,
and that
too
was the first thing that popped up in his head, which is
Royce handled it better than I did, because his response was, I know you're just some anonymous moron on Twitter, but I'd like you to know that this really did hurt my feelings. I know that's what you were going for, and congrats, you succeeded. And the guy responded with, good, take your ass to Portland, bro. Nobody wants you here if you repeatedly take shots at our players.
Wow. There's a whole different level of classless.
No doubt.
Like, it's one thing for you to, you know, hey, Barry, you're not funny. Okay, that's fine. But to go after someone who's lost a child?
Just ridiculous, man.
I can't even fathom that goes through people's minds as something that would be okay to say or do. Like, what an awful person. You know, your parents did a poor job raising you. You're just a bad person.
I mean, you think about this, right?
Your parents failed you
miserably.
Ever
since you and I started, all three of us, ever since we started having discussions surrounding the show and topics and everything like that, we've said, look, at the end of the day, it's just sports. And we're just fans talking about sports. It's not real life. It's not making rent or paying your bills or if someone has an illness. And there should be a line that should be drawn so that you can tell the difference, and others should be out there to help if you are just so cloudy and fuzzy upstairs that you don't get it. But things like this, and you're like, dude, he's a human being. They lost a child, and you're going to go there because he's not being complimentary of your favorite basketball team?
Way to go, Oklahoma.
It's, man.
Another reason to hate that state.
Royce is a guy that probably wants to be positive for the Thunder because he's been on that beat for a while. So, I don't, you know, he's just being real. He's on the beat and he's being honest.
That's what he's being paid for, right?
And then boom, a Thunder fan gets upset. So,
like, yeah, your job is to give opinions, and all of our jobs, I mean, that's what we do. We come on, you know, his job is to report, but it's also to, make an assessment and give an opinion and whatnot. And
I mean, but it happens when Barry and I were debating. I remember going back to the text line, and I can't tell you how many Rockets fans were like, man, tell Nick, shut the F up. We're going to do better than this. It's just the way it is. That's just the nature of the game.
But I'm like, okay with that. Like, I'm honestly okay with if someone is like, oh, you're stupid and you don't know sports. Is it frustrating? Is it? Yeah, but that's what we signed up for, right? Like, at the end of the day, you know if you're going to talk into this microphone and give an opinion, some people are going to agree with you and some people aren't. It's just like posting jokes. When I post a joke, I know some people are going to hate it. Like, one guy was like, this is an awful joke. And I was like, thank you, joke judge. Like, it's some people are going to agree with it and some people are going to hate it. And that's fine. That's what we signed up for. That's what I signed up for in radio. That's what I signed up for in comedy. You can disagree with me. But to make a personal attack like that is a whole level of classlessness that is beyond a reason and understanding. Like, you can say, you know what? You don't know bleep about basketball. You should be fired. You're awful. Okay. Those are all acceptable. Does it hurt when people tell you that? Sure. But to attack a guy who lost a child a couple of years ago?
I don't understand
like what goes through some people's minds sometimes, but I mean, ignorance is it's I don't know, it's hard to quantify even like what
like you and I have said this in the past about there's certain things that are off limits, our wives, you know, our you know, family situations, just but if it's about one of our takes personally, that's fine. You know, we're happy to discuss it with as long as it's done in a fairly classy way, right? It's not, you know, full of cuss laden pot shots and other things. But to go that far over your passion for your team, it's a sorry excuse for a human being right there. So
pretty sad.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, dude, I can't let that go by. Uh-oh. Parachute pants are in the waiting. Look out.
Oh, snap. Hey, would you pass that down?
We were talking about some sad stuff there, so we got to
pump it up a little bit.
We got to pump it up a little bit.
Yep. All right, we're going to pump it up and continue to talk about the Rockets. The Astros had a rough night as well. We'll get to that. Lots of things. We got some giveaways coming up as well, too. So you want to be a loyal suspect and stay tuned because you got a chance to win some things down the road as well. So keep it right here. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, three-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were talking little Rockets. We were talking about some other things. Just getting it all going, and glad you're along with us as we continue to roll right here on a gloomy Tuesday in the big city. Anything else we want to put a bow on the Rockets from last night?
I didn't have anything else. I didn't have a ton of notes. It was an ugly game. It wasn't a fun game to watch, I'll tell you that.
Did you guys happen to see the Luke Walton story or no?
Yeah.
Couldn't believe I gave up playing video games for that whack-ass game.
Well.
And a loss.
I mean, that's the thing.
Could have been in there killing Spartans.
But you would have changed your tune if it was the same crap as Saturday night, but they got a win.
Yeah, it would have felt better.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's this new game called Apex that I'm supposed to be checking out tonight.
Apex?
Yeah.
Did you ever go airsoft shooting?
No, I didn't. They canceled on me.
Oh. Well, good thing I didn't set aside my weekend for it.
Well, they'd let me know like a day in advance. I would have been able to tell you like a whole day.
20 minutes.
I can't have that. I have scheduled a week out.
There's still another one on the 28th or 30th if you want to go.
I get stuff delivered on the weekends that I have to spread out into the yard. I can get time to last minute cancellations.
Okay.
What is Apex? Is that like a battle royal game? Like
kind
Fortnite?
Of, yeah, it's not your type of game, honestly.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like it.
I just remembered that as I told you.
I like getting beat up by 12-year-olds. I'm out on that.
But that's the cool way to go because it's free. You don't have to buy the game.
Mm-mm.
Just download
it. Don't like it. I'm out. Don't like it. Yeah, let's talk about this Luke Walton thing.
Yeah, so if you missed it, while Luke was an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors, and previous to his assistant coaching job there, he had done some TV on the Lakers television network. He had worked with a female broadcaster who wrote a book, who knew Luke, and Luke wrote the foreword for the book. So while he was an assistant coach with the Warriors, she showed up to his hotel to deliver a copy of the book. As the story goes, as it reads, he convinced her to come up to his room where he tackled her on the bed, tried to, let's just say, make some advances towards her.
The report says he put her up against the wall, forced himself, and then put his junk on her.
So, yeah, rubbed his junk on her. You said tackled her on the bed. You said forced her against the wall.
The report didn't say tackled
her. Put his junk on her. And then I read forced an aggressive hug.
So that's after the follow-up. That was after the follow-up.
That's all over the map. And what I also noticed is that this isn't a criminal case. This is a civil case.
I noticed that. And I did research her.
What's
Kelly Tennant.
Yep. She does have the book. She's an ex-USC volleyball player. She did do some work on the network.
She is attractive.
She's okay.
Do we know if this was ever
pursued? Not that it matters.
Right. Do we know if this is the wrong time to be.
Yeah, let me make sure. Let me make sure and clarify that right now.
That's why I used the word attractive. I didn't say she was like banging. Yeah, or hot. Yeah.
I almost said something that would have got me in so much trouble.
No.
You have no idea how hard it is to filter like this. What I'd be curious to see is, were there ever criminal charges pursued? And what was the outcome of that? And if, you know, since he did the book thing, how is the book sales going? Just all that matters, though. All that matters.
I mean, here's the thing. It's weird because no authorities have ever said that they were aware of this. But the Warriors were aware of it. Now, I don't know if they're saying they're aware of it now or they were aware of it then, but they've made a statement that said
that they just learned of it yesterday.
Did they? Because I knew that they said they were aware of it. They were investigating.
So the Warriors released a statement saying that they just learned of it yesterday evening. The Lakers were adamant about saying that they
were not.
And the Kings said they just learned about it and they're gathering information. So the Warriors and the Kings are gathering information. The Lakers have kind of separated themselves at the moment from the situation. So I don't know. I just think what's disturbing is it's one thing to talk about the incident where she went back to the hotel,
because
you can kind of dispute that. He says, let's go back up to my room to, you know, catch up or whatever. But the other thing is, when he changes teams, he's still messing with her. Like, he's forcing hugs, according to the report. He's making lewd comments, according to the report. And the fact that this went on for a year after, that's what I think is going
to
work against
Luke. Yeah, I didn't see that. According to ESPN, as reported by Dave McMenamin, Walton allegedly invited Tennant to his room so they wouldn't be seen together by any Warriors players. Then allegedly pinned her to the hotel bed and forcibly kissed and groped her. Then it alleges in 2017, he forced an aggressive hug and made a lewd remark about her outfit at a charity event the two attended.
Right, which at that point, he's not an assistant coach for the Warriors at that point.
He's head coach of the Lakers.
So this continued on through two teams, and that's why it's a bad look for Luke Walton, because it wasn't just that one incident. Prior to April 2016, it was a continuation. And so I think that's a bad look if that's true.
Yeah, for sure, because that's the thing. Then for the Lakers to say they knew nothing about this, May 2017 puts him squarely at the helm of the Lakers.
Well, if she never brings it to their attention, then what are the Lakers supposed to do? Are you supposed to, like, hey, guys, it's our weekly have you groped someone check? Anybody grope anybody this week?
Right.
Okay, we're good. Cool.
Right.
Unless she goes to the Lakers and says, your employee pinned me to the bed or forced a hug on me and made sexual or lewd comments.
Well,
I'm not going to hold the Lakers accountable
exactly.
for this.
Exactly. The only reason why the Lakers should be worried is in the event that they knew something about this they did not tell anybody.
I was going to say, because the other way to look at this is if he knows that she's contemplating anything or she's reached out to him to say, you need to stop. In most cases, and I've been a part of a lot of these, where the person in question will give a heads up to the organization or speak to someone in the organization to basically say, hey, this is a deal that may or may not come up, but I need you to be aware and maybe help me to figure out best course of action going forward.
Well, it very specifically says, at no time before or during his employment here was these allegations reported to the Lakers. That was their statement. So she never went to them, and nor did anyone else, according to the organization. I was curious about the charges because I was curious if she ever reported it, and apparently she told several people but never reported it.
According to authorities.
And then it also says in the report by TMZ, because they're the ones who initially made the report, ESPN just confirmed it, that they don't know the reports that they obtain does not indicate whether or not what made her eventually go and speak out about this. It just shows that it happened way back then and she didn't initially report it. So the picture that they're painting from, because I read the entire report, both ESPN and TMZ, is that this was an incident that happened and then continued by Luke Walton. And that's why this has been brought to light.
And
that's the picture that they're painting. I'm not saying that's what I'm saying.
Right. But I really hope that when this happens to women, I mean, it's sad because she should have gone to the authorities
first and foremost
immediately and said, hey, I just want to file this. I don't want to press charges. I want to file a complaint. I want it on the record, because just telling your friends isn't going to help you later when you have enough courage to come forward and speak on it. And that's why I was asking, because it was like, well, was this brought forward to the police and they said, oh, there's nothing here? Doesn't turn out that's the case. And this happens a lot with women where they don't want to come forward. They're either embarrassed or intimidated. So I'm not going to hold it against her for not filing charges. But this is why it's so important, because later, I mean, it takes a long time sometimes when women go through stuff like this.
You also don't know what was going through her mind.
True, if it happened.
Right.
So, yeah, like, it's got to come forward at least.
And here's the other thing I don't like, or I throw a red flag up too, is team sources of the Lakers told Ramona Shelburne of ESPN that the alleged incidents didn't occur, that they occurred well before Walton joined the Lakers. May 2017, that's...
The incident happened well before the Lakers, but it's all those little mini follow-ups that the report is talking about.
So at some point, you would think something would surface, but we'll see how it goes from here. It's really unfortunate if you're the Kings, because you think you got a good young coach, you got a perfect guy to start grooming, you know, your young players, and the organization's going in the right direction finally after years of just bottom feeding, and now you got to deal with this.
Yeah.
So... we'll see how this progresses, and we'll keep you updated. 1 hour in the books. Still 2 hours to go with the big show. Still plenty more to get to, including Astros talk. The draft is on Thursday night as it starts. Lots to get to. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, as always, you can reach out via Twitter and get us that way. We'll be back with more. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.